we're so thankful we have the honor this morning to baptize some that have put faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ. Now, baptism doesn't save, it's just the first step of obedience to those who put faith and trust in Jesus. And what you got to have is a born-again candidate, somebody that's put that faith in Christ, and somebody that is willing to submit themselves to the proper authority, that's a local New Testament church, and enough water to pitch to the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have six to baptize this morning, so y'all pray for them. Has there been a time in your life you've trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation? I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Baptized in his likeness, raised again to walk in newness of life. Been a time in your life you trusted Christ and Christ alone for salvation? I baptize you, my brother, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptized in his likeness, raised again to walk in newness of life. Sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptized in his likeness, raised to life. Baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, baptize in his likeness, raise the end to walk in newness of life. My brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. be in Isaiah chapter 59 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 59. We're thankful very much to have visitors with us today. We trust you'll find yourself at home. We'll be in prayer for our teams as they go to camp this morning. Right after church, we'll be leaving. Matter of fact, we'll just get all the teenagers going to camp, come down forward and let's pray for them. Y'all just come on down, all of you going to camp. Come on down here. Stand up here in front of me right there, all of you. Come on down. In the bulletin that was put in there to pray for them, there's the names of all these campers. So if you'd pray for them, spiritually speaking, they need we need godly teenagers in our nation. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's see here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for all these teenagers, Lord, that's committed to go this week with us to camp. Lord, I wish it was twice, three times as many going with us, but this is what you've given us, and I pray, God, you'd bring power, conviction in the hearts of their lives. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Help us, Lord, as church family, and church members, Lord, to realize the future is right before us right now. God, we need to show these young people how to live for God. And I pray this week they get something from God that would help them be better Christians. If there's any law standing before us, I pray, Lord, that before we leave camp, even before we get to camp, they have turned their hearts over to you and they have trusted Christ, their Savior. Because Jesus, you're the only answer. And I pray you'd help us. Thank you, Lord, for our church willing to get behind us. Help us to get these kids to camp. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Isaiah chapter 59. Is there a time in your life, or have thought about it, in your life, when you just, it just seemed to you that the God of the universe somehow all of a sudden became weak, became dead, became in a way that it seems as though he couldn't do what you wanted him to do? Not that he didn't do it, it's just you thought in your mind that he could not. This whole chapter, Isaiah 59, if we just read the whole chapter, is about a nation without any spiritual life. And I believe that's, we're getting close to that in America anymore. There's no spiritual awareness. Everything is a selfish motive. Everything is carnal. Everything is when it is convenient for me. And so as we look at this here, it seems to these folks that God is weak. It seems that God is deaf and he's not hearing. And some of this, I must have wondered in my own life, Brother Ray, there's times that I've wondered, did God really even care? Did God even really care about what's going on down here? And I thought about that. I've pondered it. And I'm sure there's people here that say, why does my prayers seem to go unanswered? And you feel like that you haven't felt the presence of God in days and ages. And we got four families here this morning that has lost loved ones. This is one of the times you get to feel like that if you're not careful. This week we've had some deaths that occurred. And so I'm sure the thoughts, and I tell you this, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He is against God. The Bible says he's the Antichrist. He's the enemy of God. And so he'll plant these thoughts in you, in your hearts and your minds. But Isaiah here wanted to set the record straight. He wanted to make sure we understood that our God is not weak. That our God is not dead. And so this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever heartache, whatever difficulty, whatever trial, emotional wreck that you might be in, maybe financial decisions you've got to make over the next weeks, months to come, maybe, relationship problems, whether it's marital or, boyfriend, girlfriend types, and, you're thinking, God is not there. He's not there to help me. This is the devil's argument with us from the very beginning in Genesis. He tried to trick Adam and Eve. Yea, hath God said. You know, if God really loved you, He would let you partake of this fruit, because He knows when you take it, you're going to be just like Him. And your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to know good and evil. Well, their eyes was open. And then because of their taking of that fruit, of that tree, there in the Garden of Eden, sin fell upon all men. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, was given to walk upon this earth, to live, and to show kindness and goodness and gentleness around those. But that wasn't His only job that He did during those days. His primary job was that He might bring redemption through the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says at the end of His life, He set His face like a flint, that He would be going to Jerusalem. He'd head up there. He knew when He got there that there was going to be a time in His life that it would come where they would take Him, they would judge Him, and they would crucify Him. And on the third day, and glorious day that was, He rose again, that through that resurrected power of God, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm so thankful there's a time in my life that I've trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That it was a time that I realized that all my goodness, all the righteous works that I thought I could do, for my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And my works of righteousness can no longer get my car to drive 2 miles than it could get me to heaven. My righteousness is no good. Not by works of righteousness, but by His grace that are saved. And I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I turned to God and said, God, I am sorry for the religious life I've lived. God, I'm sorry for the sinful life I've lived. God, I'm sorry that I tried to do this on my own in the carnality and the weakness of the flesh. But Lord, today, in October 1991, I turned to God on that Wednesday night and I said, God, I need Jesus. And Jesus saved me that night. Now listen to me, dear friend, from that night to this night, there's been some times in my life, Brother Ray, that it seemed as though this God that I put my faith and trust in, the God that I gave my heart to, and my soul became His, and I became a new creature in Christ. It seemed that sometimes throughout those years that it just seemed that God was not hearing me. So I wanted some questions answered. So as we study the Word of God, we look here, Isaiah wanted to answer those same questions. And he does this, if you look in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 59, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is shortened. Huh? Oh, you caught that, didn't you? Is not shortened. That it can say. Cannot say. Neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. So He wanted to set the record straight to the nation of Israel. Listen, it's not that His hand is shortened that He cannot say. It's not that He has no power to say. It's not that His ear is heavy that He cannot hear. Here's the problem. And He went on to give them the answer. He gave them the place that had got them to where they were. The Lord's hand is not shortened. The great creator of the earth who put the stars and the moons in the place, and He knows them by name, dear friend. And He keeps the waters from going from above the boundaries and banks of the rivers and the oceans where they are by His power. And He keeps the moon and the sun rotating and orbiting and day in and day out and night out. Here comes the moon. Here comes the sun in the morning. And this same God with that same power works in our hearts and in our lives, and He is able. Now here's the problem. It's emotions. It's feelings. It's our little feelings that we work in here. You know, my feelings will always fall short of the truths of the Word of God. My emotions, dear friend, are never based upon the truths of the Word of God. What's your emotions based upon? What's happening right now? Man, where are we fixing to go, man? What are we going to do at Pensacola, Matthew? Have fun. Going to learn about Jesus. How many of your teams are excited to go? Okay, what if I told you right now I've canceled it, we're going over to the lower part of town and we're just going to rake leaves and mow grass? For a whole week, and you're not getting paid, we'll give you 2 loaves of bread, and that's all you get. You happy now? What happened? Your emotions changed upon the circumstances. Well, the Word of God doesn't change. The Word of God is absolute. The Word of God is truth. You cannot keep going off the emotional state of your heart, because our emotions change hour by hour, day by day, week by week. That's how it works. And this is what's going on in the lives of Christians. We're too emotionally tied to the things of our circumstances and happenings instead of standing on the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Yea and amen. Listen, this is what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said, feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Different, we serve an unchanging God. We serve a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But just in a matter of speaking, we're planning to go to camp. 1 minute, I changed the plans, and now we're going to go cut grass and weed eat. We're going to pluck weeds up out of people's flower beds over here that can't afford help. And then all of a sudden, our emotions change that quick. God doesn't change whether you have weeds in your life or you have roses. God is the same day in and day out, hour by hour. The Word of God is the same. That's why we have to find encouragement in the Word of God. So he wanted to set the record straight and said, listen, you think the hand of the Lord is shortened. You think he cannot save. You think he has no power. You think he cannot hear. I want to tell you that God's power has not and will not diminish. My circumstances, nor the circumstances of my family, the circumstances of our nation, does not diminish who our God is. Amen. Our problem is we allow this world and our problems, and we allow the cares of this world to blur our vision, and we get distracted upon that which is the trouble instead of keeping our eyes set on the affections and things of God. Secondly, God has not become deaf. His ear is not that he cannot hear. The problem isn't with God. The problem is with the nation of Israel in this chapter. The problem today is with you and I. It's not that God don't hear prayer. He's given us a commandment. Pray without ceasing. It's not that God doesn't want us to pray. God desires us to pray. The problem is that you and I have moved and are abiding in a place of unanswered prayer. The Bible says, I regard iniquity in my heart. God will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. You and I, we move, we change, and we go here and we go there. You know, the Bible says an unstable man, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And what does it say? Tossed to and fro. One day I'm over here, one day I'm over. Why is that? Because I'm emotionally relying upon how I'm feeling today. Can I just be a little bit honest with you this morning? This morning I'm feeling like Gladiator. When he was sitting there with Cicero, Maximus said to Cicero, Cicero, do you enjoy doing your duties? You know what Cicero said to him? There's days that I do what I like to do. The rest of the time, I just simply do what I have to do. Listen, dear friend, there's days when I don't feel like mounting this pulpit and bringing forth the message of the Word of God. That doesn't change who God is. There's days, dear friend, that you don't feel like being in the house of God. But whether you're here or you don't come and you stay home and you watch TV or you go to the park or you go to a training event or something, that doesn't change who God is. It's not God. The problem is not God, dear friend.
The problem is you and I. The problem is the nation of Israel in this chapter. He's not diminished in power. He's not deaf, or he wouldn't have told us. It would make him a liar if he said, pray without ceasing, Brother David. He's deaf. What does the Bible say? God cannot what? Lie. So the problem's not God. Listen, this thing is a relationship. The closest relationship to it on earth is a husband and a wife. It's not that we cannot communicate with each other. It's just that we refuse to. It's not that we cannot get them to hear. There's a problem in our life or their life that they don't want to hear. So it's not God, dear friend. The problem is us. And Isaiah said to him, he said, listen, dear friend, it's not God, but in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Have you moved to that place of no answered prayers? Are you living in a place where you regard iniquity more than you regard the truths of the Word of God? Are you spending more time with the pleasures of the flesh and carnality of life than you are in the spirituality, the spiritual walk with our Lord Jesus Christ? So he's not diminished in power. God has not become dead. It is sin that has separated us from our God. He said, very particular there in verse 2, your iniquities. What's the easiest thing to do, Brother Dwayne? Brother Jason, help me. Is it easier for you to look at how much I've gained at my waist or look at how much you've gained in your waist? Be honest with me. Listen, I know there's some things going on around here, dear friend. I don't know about that. I'm about to go to Sonabella or something. Get me a hose pipe and hook it up to an auger and just suck it out. I mean, Brother Jason, I'm not going to be mad at you. Is it easier to look at how nice you look or how big I'm getting? Say it louder. Thank you, Brother Jason. We're going to talk after church. Let's be honest. It's always easier to look at how somebody else is messing up. Always easier to look over here and look at Brother Dick and say, Brother Dick, huh? Man, look at you. You're messed up. Than to introspect. Always easier to look at this and look at that. I'm telling you, dear friend, how many of you have found flaws in something somebody else has done and pointed them out real quick? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better if we found the flaws in our life first? I think that's a biblical principle, isn't it? Find that beam that's in our eye and clean it up and quit worrying about the specks in other people's lives. That's why, listen, this is a national problem. This is dealing with a national problem, but Isaiah wanted them to know that, yes, it is a national problem, but national problems become from individuals. Your sins, your iniquities, your sins and your iniquities have hidden. So it's not that God doesn't want to hear us, dear friend. God loves talking with us. He loves spending time with us. God loves sharing His story with us. Well, how do you know that? Because he preserved his word forever for us to read. You know, he told us in the scriptures that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide. He wants us to read. He wants us to hear it. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to spend time with him. He told us that Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 1, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house many mansions was not so. I told you so. He wants you to know about him. He wants you to know about him. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trump of God's going to sound. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those that are dead and gone before us and shall ever problem is our sin and our iniquities put a stoppage or a blockage that we cannot approach God. He's not dead. He's not weak. But I'm here to declare to you, there's been times in my life that I thought He was. There's been times as your pastor that I thought He was not hearing my prayers. There's been times whenever I thought, God, where is your might? Where is your strength? There's been times, Brother Jim, there's been times I said, Lord, where is your still small voice? God, I'm not wanting you to calm the storm right now. I just want to hear the voice. And I began to look within and look around at the things that I'm putting my priorities to and my life to. And I began to see very quick. I have become so busy with the things of life that I have busied my God out of my life. And then I realized, it's not that He cannot hear this. It's because of the busyness of life around me that I'm not sitting still to hear the still small voice. How many of you have problems hearing right now? Maybe you got to go get some ear checks up or something. You're not sure. I've started doing that here lately. I don't know if this 50 thing has really hit me kind of. It hit me late. I mean, I was in April, but it's kind of catching up. Maybe it's already there, but now maybe it's all in my mind. I don't know. But it seems like I can't hear well anymore. My wife come in the other day, and I had the TV up. I was trying to listen to the news. I had the TV up to 82. I don't know. I think the news person was talking slow, quietly. It was kind of whispering. You know, it's been known that if you talk quietly, people pay attention more. They start leaning forward. See? Look at you. I'm not sure, but I did figure this out. The problem was not that I couldn't hear the TV person. The problem was my kids was in the kitchen, and Bentley was doing something with one of them's hair, and the other one's laughing and giggling, and all the background noise was drowning out the one that was right in front of my face. Sometimes in my life, dear friend, brother Chris, sometimes I'm looking at the face of God. I've got my face in the book. I'm spending time in prayer. But the background noise is not allowing me to hear Him. That's why the Bible says that we're to cast away the weights and sins that does so easily beset us. It's not that He can't hear, not that He doesn't want us to hear, it's that we are in a place where we're unable to hear. And none of us want to have to end up going to the point where we have to get hearing aids, but sometimes in life that's what happens. We need to get some aid, some help to help us to hear so that we can hear those around us so we feel part of it. I'm here to tell you, dear friends, some of us need to get to the point where we get some spiritual hearing aids. Well, what is that? Quit just being hearers only and do. Because that's the principle. Hear the Word of God and do. Don't just be hearers only, but be doers. And as we begin to do, and we begin to push forward and press forward towards the marks of the high call of the Lord Jesus, dear friend, we begin to see that the sins and cares and troubles of this life aren't really that important. What's really important is that time with God. I want you to, I'm going to close here reading down to chapter verse 13, I think. Let's go back to our text. So here we go. Isaiah says in verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Okay, there's the problem. But that's not the root. Isaiah goes on to the root. Look at verse 3. Now he gets down to the nitty-gritty. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, speaketh lies, and conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed maketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction in their paths. Verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made their crooked paths. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light and behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as a dead man. We roar like the bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation. But it is far away from us, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. And our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, as for our iniquities we know them. Here's the thing. We got to get out of this general speaking of things. Isaiah said in verse 2, it's your iniquities. But I'm telling you, friend, that's how we pray many times. Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned. We got to get down to the particulars. We got to get down to the nitty-gritty. We got to get down to the actual act, the actual thing. Because what we're looking for is a cloak or a cover when we need repentance. We're looking to hide it. And Isaiah said, I want to bear record to you. I want to make it known to you, dear friend. Listen, the Lord's hand's not shortened. It's your sins, it's your iniquities. And then he went on to name them. I'm telling you, dear friend, we got to get to the point where we start owning it. We got to start. I'm an angry man. I'm a lustful man. I'm a hateful man. I'm a covetous man. I speak with cruelness with my tongue and my words. We got to get to the point where we own them. There's too much of this here general speaking. Lord, I've sinned. Oh, dear friend, you didn't sin. It's just out there like a broad brush. When your heart convicts you, get it right with God. You said, Pastor, I done did so much sin, I don't even know. I can't even name them all. But you can name a handful of them right now. Why not start? See, don't let the devil excuse you. Ah, you can't remember all that. Just stay general. Aren't you glad that Jesus saved you in particular? Just you and him, and your relationship was in him. And it's not has nothing to do with mama, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, pastor, deacon, song leader. It's between you and him. Well, just the same way he saved you, dear friend, he wants to deal with you as individuals. As in just one. So here's the questions, and we're done. Do you remember a better day in your walk with God than today? It's a simple question. Do you remember a better day in your walk with God than today? Then what's the problem? I don't explain to you, it's not God. You got to do some inner searching. You got to do some inner looking. You got to say, Lord, it was better 2 months ago. Lord, 4 years ago, I mean, our walk and our relationship was so much better. Lord, last night was so much better than this morning. Okay, here it is. Then are you ready to repent and ask God for forgiveness and return to your walk with Christ? Because it does not get any better unless you do that. It's not going to get any better. Here's the third question, and we're done. Why not today make today a day that you search out personal revival in yourself. You know those songs? Revive us again. Revive me again. Get like David in Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Me. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, oh Lord. It's me that stands in need of prayer. Let's stand to our feet, head bowed. Eyes closed, the pianist is coming. Brother Jim's going to be on his way. We're going to sing a song of invitation. This morning, if you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior, there's never been a time where you trusted Christ. I wish you'd come. Let us take the Word of God. We will not embarrass you. We'll take the Bible. We'll show you what God says about eternity, about heaven and hell, and about Jesus, the atonement for sin. It's all through the finished work of Christ.